to the RR to the RR10, which would correlate with the rest of the subdivisions there. And apparently, oh, come on. Great.
So RR can be down to 1 acre?
Two acre.
2 acre.
Yeah. By our minimum standards, we don't, you know, let them go down past that because of the well and sewer. Sorry, this one has never been connected in here before.
Do you need the blue cord?
I've got this one. No, I just need to. So anyway, with that proposal on the second page here, it shows the blue areas being, I know yours isn't, but RR10 and the red being the RR. So with his statements and stuff that he had made through this other trial, you know, trying to get that other parcel rezoned, he has brought this forward to rezone his 10-acre parcel into the RR10.
He's just honoring what he said earlier.
Yes. Yeah. He is. This came before the Planning and Zoning Committee. There was very minimal discussion on it, and they approved it 5-0.
Yeah, I did. That's what I was looking for, was the 5-0, and I didn't see it.
Didn't see it in
No,
there.
That's okay. No,
that's
worries.
Okay.
And no adverse comments?
No.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I make a motion we move this minimum parcel from RR to RR10 residential zoning.
I have a motion and a second. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second for Mr. Vickery. Any discussion? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
It's there. What is? Come on, please. Well, this is not going to do us any good, so. Okay. The second agenda item is a request for minor subdivision. This is located within the Hoback Ranches subdivision. This is this parcel is currently a 39-acre parcel. It has never been subdivided. The bottom part of that 40 has been divided with another minor subdivision. This was kind of the remainder of that first division, and it has been a standalone tract since its conception. They are proposing a two-lot minor subdivision, which will create a 14.16 acre lot and a 24.85 acre lot. The lots are split basically on the westerly side and then the easterly side. And they do have, they're going through this split with the purpose of selling that westerly lot. Again, it meets all of our restrictions as far as the minor subdivision rules and such are met. There's a well currently drilled on the westerly property, and it meets all of the Hoback Ranch subdivision setbacks and their requirements. I guess with that, if there's any questions, I'd be more happy to answer. Scott Sherbull is here also. He is representing the owner on this and could answer any other additional questions. Again, with this, it was unanimously passed by the Planning and Zoning Commission.
So, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Commissioner Beckery.
Dennis? So in the future, can these lots of 14 and 24 be split again?
Not through the minor subdivision process, no. They could go through a major subdivision process, which is a little more lengthy as far as the water sewer type studies. They could be split again. Everything within the Hoback ranches is zoned RR10, so it could be split below that 10-acre threshold.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval. I'll second that.
Motion and a second. Just a question, Dennis. You've got on here that deficiencies identified by Schuyler Wilson will be corrected.
Yes.
Are those, can you speak to those?
Is I that believe they have. Scott, have you got all of
just minor texting type of things?
Okay.
Yeah, they were very minor, and it was one question was about an easement on the northerly side. That's been resolved also.
So it has been addressed. Yes. Any other discussion? Call for the vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Yes.
No.
upgraded computer too, and so I never have to in here to make sure it all connected.
I had to go through the cable getting in the other day. Yeah. Do you want that? It's
over
there.
I think we can.
I can get it for you. It just
yeah, it's just right there. No, we're fine.
Yes.
I don't know why it's seeing it. I just don't know why it's not grabbing it.
Oh, internet open. Joe, you need to sign.
Here we go.
Terry, I think you have to as well. Thank you, Scott.
All righty, gentlemen, the third item that I have up for you today is for the construction of a conditional use permit for the construction of a public wireless internet communication tower. This is, glass back on here. This is located on lot 49 of the Big Country Ranch's second subdivision, which is out in Barger. It is just at the top of the hill. If you go to Medlark and as you head up on top, it's right along the top edge of that hill. LR Communications currently has a small booster affixed to this residence's garage, and it is providing service to some of the residences further to the east and to the south, along with boosting some of the service on top of that hill. They are bringing this request for you for the construction of a 40-foot tower, which the height limit in the RRMH10 is 30 feet, so it's about 10 feet over the height restriction there, and for the conditional use of a public facility on a residential property. We going through planning and zoning, the one thing that did come up was this is within the airport safety zone, and the request for their review and stuff has been turned in. We do have that review, that case review number, and as part of the conditional use, is that we receive a copy of any of their recommendations and that those recommendations be followed. And that would be for any FAA safety stuff, whether it needs a light or anything like that on it. The tower itself being 10 foot over the existing garage that's there, which is close to 26 foot tall, it's only going to be another 8 feet over top of the garage, basically. We received no comments or no adverse comments from any of the neighbors in the area at all, through our meeting or through the contact letters.
When do you expect to have the comment by the FAA?
The comment, they can take up to 30 plus days, and it would just be whatever restrictions. They will allow the structure.
They will.
It's just what safety stuff that they make them do. If it's got one of the little twirly lights on it or lighted or anything. The FAA will pretty much allow any structure just as long as they can locate it on their map. This is basically a mile north of any of the flight approach that they currently have. So it's quite a ways out of the out of their fly zone. The buildings that are actually on top of the hill right here in this are within their safety zone also.
So I guess I was just asking, is it premature to approve it without getting their formal approval?
I don't think so. They have their case study number in the works, and they will just have to comply with any lighting standards or anything that they have for them.
Do we have any other towers or structures that are allowed that variance over 30 feet currently?
Unions is on the north.
Yes, we do on the north end. Unions Tower is there. I think we are 20 feet above
that.
I think they went right at the 60 foot, yeah. They are out just outside of the safety zone as far as the FAA was concerned. There's another tower out that direction.
There's one more.
Union. I'm thinking of this other one up here. There's another proposed tower that's going to be on south of there, but okay. We haven't got that far yet.
So I think moving forward, I don't have a problem with this one, but you're going to look at your zoning regs and all that and tighten or kind of address those for this, because towers are going to be more common.
More common.
And our regs say 40 foot, so we're going to be going through this a lot.
Yes. We are working on, Alan's been really good at working on doing a lot of research and stuff for the tower regs, and we are working on them currently.
Okay.
We've just about got stuff put together to where we can sit down with the county attorney's office and go through stuff. We'll be working on that here later this winter. So, yeah, there has to be,
because currently it's pretty loose.
It's fairly loose, but right now each one of them would have to be considered with a conditional use permit. If we come up with some actual working standards for towers, you know, that they can be 10 feet over our initial height limit or something like that, we'll have something in place that's a lot better.
Thank you.
But yes, we are working on that.
So, Commissioner Pickett.
So I guess my question is, Dennis, you folks are fine with this and you're just waiting on the final whatever has to be done with the FAA?
Yes, planning zoning recommended to approve this 5-0. The FAA, we do have their case review file number. We just don't have what recommendations they are going to require for the tower.
On something like this, you've got mentioned that you sent notification to property owners within a 1,000-foot radius. Is that fairly typical? Is it usually larger than that, or is that standard?
That is standard. That's within our regs and such. In the RR zoning districts, in the RR and RR10s, I typically stay within 1,000 feet because you're still notifying, you know, upwards of 40 to 60 people. In the RR10s, like Hoback Ranches, RR20s and Ag, I've been going a lot, quite a bit larger, and that came about from the conversation a couple years ago with the ag parcel up to, on North Piney Creek. So ag stuff, I've gone at least a mile or until I hit the adjacent property owners.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move we accept the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Board as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you very much. Okay, the next item that I have for you on the agenda is an item that we tabled last month. This was for a conditional use permit for guest ranch, outfitter type of business, and bed and breakfast. It was located up on the Beecher Place, which is south of South Cottonwood, for Freddie Bouture. I believe one of the things Mac had requested that he get in contact and that you talk to him.
Had a good conversation with him. And he had absolutely no problems with the questions that we had about stacking a rig there or having commercial something.
So is that language eliminated then?
Has actually been eliminated.
Yep.
The workers' camp thing was taken out.
And review it. What was the review time like?
I think we left the review at that 5 year. Will be reviewed in 3 years.
Yeah, we did that.
So we kind of split the difference.
No, it's two years off. Because it was five?
It was five. So we went with three. This will give them a chance to kind of get it up and running and see if it'll fail or not.
So okay. The request in here says 5 years. Mm-hmm. We have in front of us 5 years.
Okay, sorry. That came after the final one on there.
You changed five to three?
Yes. That must have been after I talked with him. Again, he was fine with this, with the amendments and such.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you and he got questions answered and discussed.
Well, I think we did, because I told him I was the one that had the questions.
Yeah.
And then as we talked about it, other commissioners had questions, but he didn't have a problem with it. So I told him I thought this would go forward with those changes.
Okay. Is there any other questions?
When it comes time for review, are you going to notify him, or is he going to come in here?
I think I will notify him.
Okay.
So I will red flag the file. And
okay. That's all I'm asking. Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant the request for a conditional use to allow a guest ranch / outfitter and bed and breakfast to Mr. Bouture at the Beecher Place.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Well, what you talk about has been changed to a 3-year review.
Yes.
We eliminate the language we were concerned about.
Yes.
And there's no other issues for Mr. Bouture in terms of...
Didn't seem to be. No.
Okay.
No, he was very open to this, and it's something... the bed and breakfast thing, he'd like to kind of see go forward. If it will work, great. If it doesn't, finally looking at it again and move on from there. So.
Okay. Any other discussion? If not, I'll call for the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
No opposition. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you very much. Okay, my last agenda item that I have for you. Scott, possibly you can help me out with this a little bit too. This is a legal description for the property around the Bondurant Fire Hall and station up there. We currently have a lease with the Forest Service, and it was never really tied down. So we've got a 1-acre lease up there with them. This map and this description that is being presented is to define the boundary around the county shop and the fire hall. There's also another one of these in place that describes the area around the church up there. And it leaves about a fourth of an acre in between that the Bondurant Historic Board or Society is looking at having a lease with them also to build the library and little historical facility.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that.
The museum.
Yeah.
Right.
So this description, legal description and such, would be something that would be attached to our lease with the Forest Service describing our actual use area there. This then makes room for the church's lease and this lease for the historic building. And I think what we need is just a motion of approval to accept the legal description that would be attached to the Forest Service lease.
Okay.
Which is what we have in front of us here.
Yes.
So do we have a motion to accept the this legal description for this track at the Bondurant Fire Hall and County Shop?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And second. Second. Any discussion?
Has Skyler Wilson reviewed this?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions?
I just want to make sure it was reviewed.
Yeah. All right, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Well, good.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dennis.
So I think that will, you know, help tie down our use area.
Well, it'll help the Historical Society get their museum going and, or protect it or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much. I think that's all I had. We'll have another full agenda.
You made it.
Next month. We did.
Yeah.
So, and next month I will have my computer working for sure. So
okay.
I can actually show you where we're at.
Sounds good.
All right. Anything else from you guys that?
I don't think so.
Questions or?
No, Kelly's dying to get up here.
Really?
All right.
Well, Kelly, come on up. Thanks for coming. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Thank you for having me. So do I need to introduce myself in the record or anything like that?
I figure you're Kelly Crane.
I am. You got that right. Okay.
Well, good afternoon, Chairman Burnett, Commissioners.
So I'm just going to give you a little update about University of Wyoming Extension. We've had some recent developments, so it's kind of on the schedule anyway. And so as I talked to Commissioner Noble, he said, I think you ought to come up anyway. And so this is a good opportunity just to update you where we're at and maybe an opportunity for me to hear from you and community members about concerns or opportunities or anything else you see.
Okay.
So first and foremost, we've had a resignation of our 4-H educator that's there, effective December 31. Could happen before that, apparently, but we have a resignation, so we intend to fill that position, 4-H position. But that's up to your purview, too, because recall, you all pay half the salary of that position. We pick up half the salary in the employer-paid benefits. Sublet County graciously provides the other half of the salary. So you give me the okay, and we'll start the process to fill that position.
I think we're very much interested in filling the position. I guess our concern is we need to discuss what do we need to do on an interim basis if that becomes necessary.
Okay. Maybe we can. I'll tell you the process a little bit.
Okay.
Then I can kind of guess how long it might take. So when I get back to Laramie, we'll get a requisition out of our HR department. That doesn't really take very long. Say we want to fill this position. There's been no hang up on 4-H positions, largely because they're funded by county. You may have heard the university, we've had like a 4-year hiring freeze, but that hasn't affected 4-H positions. because of our county partnership. So that won't be a problem. Our typical process is after we get the okay, then we put it out internally for about 10 days. So if we have existing educators scattered out through the state who say, I want to come to Sutherland County, we give them a chance. So usually we don't get a lot of people coming stepping up on those, but we figure it's a good way. If people want to move within our system, we want to give them an opportunity to. If we have internal interest, we'll do the same thing as we do with external candidates. If somebody says, I'd like to take that job in Sublette County, we'll trot them up here, we'll have them interview, you all have a chance to meet them. We'll convene a local committee with 4-H leaders and a representative from the county commission, and we'll say, okay, this person wants to work here, do you think they'll work? So we're not going to force anybody on anybody. So we'll do that if there's internal interest. So that lasts about 10 days. After that, we'll put the position out for a national advertisement. We advertise between 30 and 60 days on these positions. And then we'll convene a local committee. We'll screen the candidates. If we get a lot of candidates, we'll screen them down to however many we can tolerate to interview, so 4 or 5 probably. And then we'll convene a local group, same as we do every time. Commissioners, local 4-H leaders. This case probably ought to put a Fair Board member or two on it. Usually someone from the school district we've had in the past, some other youth-serving organization person, and then we'll interview them. We'll chat about them like we did last time and make an offer. So all that put together, if we do a 30-day advertisement or a 60-day, we're going to be February before we hire somebody. It's not us. I wish Megan was here. It's not a super busy time. We get through achievement night. I think we can probably get by with your county people, with Megan working in there until we get filled. It'd be different if it was spring, but I think we'll have someone in place before spring. That's my hope. Not always good at predicting that, but that'd be my hope.
Okay. I have a question for our county attorney, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Mike, do you see or perceive any changes or need on our part in terms of developing this contract, that we might have improved interest or support in that, say?
I don't per se about that, Mr. Chairman. I would like to see a provision which gives us more local control over the personnel issues, I guess, as far as who we want to keep, who we don't want to keep, that sort of thing. It seems like right now we don't have any, and we basically put the bill, but we're stuck totally with the state as far as those issues go. So without becoming an employer, it's possible. I think our interest would be to have a little more say in the timing of employee issues and stuff, since they directly impact us, since it's our building and we're funding the paycheck.
Well, I think that's to go with, you said the end date is December 31st, so we've got a resignation, but now we're going to be paying him for 2 more months.
Yeah.
I think what they're getting at is we'd like a little more influence on that, possibly.
Well, yeah. I think what Mike is getting at, excuse me, I think is not just the existing overall situation, yes. It's the future situation.
Future,
right? Because what's done is done, mm-hmm. and that goes under the previous contract. What we would like is to be able to have more of a say or stake in the future moving forward.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman, if that's possible.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's really our general counsel question on that. We have an annual salary agreement that you sign. I am not an attorney. but it basically says in the annual salary agreement, either party can pull out of that at any time. I'll have that question to our HR and general counsel. I mean, they're UW employees.
I understand.
And we're, 65% of the total compensation probably. Mm-hmm. So we would probably be a little reluctant to just say the county has sole discretion on personnel, because it's got exposure for us from a human resources standpoint.
Absolutely.
We absolutely are committed to the partnership and move as fast as we can on these things. Again, it doesn't always move as fast as people would like, but we move as fast as we can. I mean, we're not...
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
So I'd like to ask this question, Kelly. The interim is what I'm kind of concerned about. As a parent of years ago and a grandparent of years ago, so we have programs here that are sort of in flux, if you will, without that leadership that's out there. So how is that to be addressed?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Baker. So I'll tell you how we usually do it. This is probably not the best way. We sometimes will hire interim positions, hire someone in there to do it interim, but it usually doesn't help much because unless they're familiar with the program, we don't gain a lot from that. So typically it falls on the county support person. So it would fall on Megan to keep things afloat and the leaders. The 4-H leaders really have to step up like they've had to, and that's where it's going to fall in reality, unless you want to get someone in the... But again, by the time we select someone, I think we can have... Select someone to do it on an interim basis, I think we can have someone in there. It's not ideal, but...
Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask for some input. We have two of our Fair Board members here, and I think if they have any ideas on how we can better keep this program together until we get that position, I'd like to... They may have some ideas. I'd like to hear them if they do.
Yeah, please identify yourself for the sake of the newspaper.
Yeah, Michael Henn, Fair Board member. I guess the one question I'd have for Kelly is from now till December 31st, what's the status of the educators' presence or absence or follow through with the current sign up, achievement night, start of club meetings, and so on? Because that would then dictate my, that would help me phrase the question or answer or questions I have based on Joel's response.
Yeah, so our expectation is he's doing all the all the roles and responsibilities of that position until he's not on the payroll. So until the 31st is here, he's a 4-H educator in Sublette County.
Okay. With that said, I guess the concern I'd have is keeping the volunteers active and engaged until the 1st of January, when then they would have to pick the workload up, I think is going to be the hurdle that the extension is going to have because of the past situation and what was noticed during sign up this year. I guess that would be the concern I would have, is keeping engaged volunteers until the time we need them would
Good
be
point.
My concern. And I think it's a pretty valid concern that you probably start losing more than what we've already lost and maybe not get them talked back in.
Yeah.
But that's just my take.
Mr. Chairman, Gary Hayward, Fair Board member. I think with that being said, Kelly, we're just going to have a really, really close working relationship with you, because there have been some significant deficiencies with the position in recent months. So having an expectation that he will do his job between now and December is critical, because there have been a lot of deficiencies, like you say. So we'll just have to work really closely together, because we've got to see some of the programs that have waned come back again, and we've got to start developing those. How to do that is just going to be through your volunteer leaders and be able to give them an idea that there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
So something else I might ask. So we got a state 4-H office down there that is part of their job is to support the county programs. And there's no reason we couldn't run them up here on once a week, once a month, get the leaders together, talk about continuity and programs, those kind of things. They're stretched thin like all of us are, but there's no reason they couldn't come up and host some of those kind of things.
I would see that as very beneficial.
I do too. Okay. We give them light at the end of the tunnel.
That sounds like worth doing.
Okay.
Even if they just met with them and said, here's where we're at, this is what we need to revisit this morning.
We've got a volunteer coordinator down there, and Jonathan Despain and Warren. Warren, especially with the shooting sports program and those. I think I could easily commit them to be up here, you know, at least a few times in the transition period to work with your leaders and members also.
I think that would be beneficial. We're very concerned because we have such a strong program, and I can appreciate the volunteer efforts of those that are for whatever reason, lost interest or desire, and I'm totally want to be able to protect that and see that support continue rather than wane.
Us too.
Good.
That would bring some life back to their volunteers, I think.
Okay. I think that's a good suggestion. That's totally working for us.
Kelly, I'm going to a little personal note here. I had an opportunity this spring at our branding. We generally have a little skeet shoot. And you've a lady down there that's working right now that might be as good a skeet shooter as I can ever remember seeing, Megan. So just might add that in on the shooting sports thing. She's incredible.
Okay. All right. So I got one more. I won't say this on record, but we had a hiring freeze. You know, the university took a $44 million cut and brought hiring to a screeching halt for about 4 years. The first thaw in that freeze was a central position management, they call it. We all, in the ag college, we got to apply for some positions, and Old Main, our administrators and the president, awarded a few of them. I'll just tell you, the only field educator position that got awarded was one in Sublette County. So I did get approval to hire a range position in Sublette County, so we'll be going out with that position. That's 100% funded by us, but housed in your facilities. And it's an area range position, covers 5 counties. Glenn Owings was the past person in there, and before that, Wendy Kelly and Eric Peterson before that. So we're gonna go with that position about on the same timeline as our 4-H educator. So we hope to get this office back to critical mass, which I really think helps the 4-H program also. It just has some more bodies around. And just for information, we're meeting, Mr. Hinn and I are meeting after this. We're gonna talk about how we coordinate efforts between the conservation districts and UW Extension on the rangeland side. Your local House of Representatives delegate has I've visited with him a little bit. He's got a keen interest in this, so that might have helped the prioritization of this position. But anyway, we got it, so that position's going to be about the same timeline. We'll try to get that. I mean, I probably February, March or something on that position. So we'll have another area range kind of person. So that's the other side of it.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that.
Kelly, tell me again, when do you expect, on the previous issue we discussed about having this advertised internally for a position?
Probably Monday. I think Monday.
Okay.
All I do is send an email and say we're going to have an opening in Sublette County, and then we don't ask anybody. We just wait and see if anybody comes to scratch on it.
Okay.
And that's just kind of the first of our process. Like I say, if they do, you all will be the first to know. We'll say, hey, we got interest from an educator. I don't know of any out there that are interested in it, but that doesn't mean they're not. So, and then we'll start the process.
Mr. Chairman, Kelly, you brought up this range position, which is, you know, for the rural counties in Wyoming that are 80% like we are, public land. Range positions are crucial to the continuation of the livestock industry being able to be economically viable. At one time, we had the number 2 rated range department in the country behind Texas A&M. What is your recommendation? How can counties get the message to the university that their range department has went to hell and we need to fix it? Who do we talk to? How do we impress on? Do we go to the trustees? Does the new dean? Is it worth talking to the new dean? I mean, we've got people in this room that went through that range department when it was a good department. My son was one of them with a master's degree. And now, I wouldn't send a grandson there. They don't learn anything.
Yeah.
What can we do to make it better?
I think all those things you identified work. You know, it's all, and they've got the message. I mean, we got a footnote in out of the legislature in the last biennium about it, and we've got the message. And in that CPM request, also, there's going to be a range position in that also in the department. And our dean is really focused on making sure that those positions are the way they were intended, which is more applied, more focused on Wyoming range solutions, and relevant to management decisions. So I think the message has been loud and clear. That doesn't mean to discourage you from bringing it again. As you know, that's, I have a personal passion for the same thing. So I think it's been heard loud and clear. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't talk to all of those. And I, you know, the bottom line is it's a bit of a funding question. And so everywhere we go, we say, you know, we got to support the block grant because that's how we get positions. The block grant out of the legislature, but you read the same papers I do. I don't know where the money's going to come from to do that. So I appreciate that. I will forward that for sure to the dean.
Appreciate that.
Mr. Chairman, I think I may be as a county commissioner as far removed from this as anybody here, but the things that I hear, we've had a bump in the road. We're over the bump, and all of the people on the fair board, all the people in 4-H pulled together to make our fair this year very, very successful. And I think this will make them much stronger because of it. And I think you'll see those people come back knowing someone set a light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. So I think on the high note, everything's going to work out because of the strength of this county.
Thank you, Mr. Reiser. Anything else for Mr. Crane?
Not for me.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you coming.
You bet. Glad to be here.
Moving right along, I guess our next item is Clint Gilchrist. Terry, I don't have a tab on that. I jumped to 2 o'clock. Okay. It's on the other end. Got it.
Did you need a copy?
I think I have it in here. Just
okay.
If you've got an extra one, though, I will take it. Thank you, Clint. Okay.
Well, thank you guys for listening to me. The Preservation Board would like to do a National Register nomination for Big Sandy Lodge and all the buildings associated with it. And we're applying for a grant through the State Historic Preservation Office. So this, currently the way we got it structured is the SHPO grant would pay for $5,000 and the county would match $4,000, which we'd already put in our budget. Last time we did this on Cora, we ended up getting bids for $8,000 from contractors, and so it was a little bit less, but we think this is a similar scope. So we think Big Sandy Lodge is an incredibly important historic asset in the community, and we think it ought to be recognized. So if you guys have any specific questions, I'll go through a little history of it. But
Mr. Chairman, not about the history. I think it's a very good project. But specifically, what has to be done on the ground in this project to make this happen? Do they put up signs, I assume, but what in addition to that, do they do actual work on the buildings?
No, this is purely recognition, and so we'll get a professional historian who will come in and document the history of the place and write a National Register nomination. And that's the end product of this.
So that's what the money goes for.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
And then based on that, we'll buy a little plaque that we'll put on the building. But besides that, it's purely a recognition honorary. Well, it's not purely. the federal or the Forest Service has to manage the property based on the fact that it's a historic property. So, but there will be no, we won't put any money in fixing buildings.
How does that change their management program?
It shouldn't change it a lot. I've had a lot of discussions with DeWitt Morris on this, who is the current permit holder, and how it will affect their operations. The Forest Service already recognizes this as a National Register eligible property. Therefore, they manage it as if it's on the National Register. So I don't really see a difference in management, but that's the legal case. The reality on the ground is whenever you put a plaque on like that and it gets that kind of recognition, they probably pay more attention to it. We saw that with the Jack Creek cabin up on Jack Creek. And when the fire went through there, they put a tremendous amount of resources into trying to protect that cabin because it's not a National Register. And so things like that, priorities change a little bit once that, but from a permittee management point of view, it technically shouldn't change anything, but symbolically it probably makes some payment attention to the buildings, the Forest Service.
Mr. Chairman, I think it probably does strengthen their security of their permit. Whether there's any language in it that legally does that or not, once it's there, like the stock driveway up the Green River, they put it on there, and the reason they did that was to try and help preserve their ability to use that as it was being used all those years. So I think it does help in a sense.
I think there's truth in that. It just brings more attention to that particular asset. So it's a little bit harder to just dismiss or to let go away, or you've got to make a better argument for why there shouldn't be permit.
Right.
Or, you know, there's been permits there since 1939, so it's got a really long history. Or 1930.
Okay. So I would entertain a motion that we approve this grant application for the Preservation Board.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Good project.
Any additional comments? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. And thank you, Clint.
Thank you. And I have a copy for you to sign.
I'm ready to
sign it right now.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I really appreciate this.
Well, we appreciate your
appreciate everything you do to help make these things happen. We really do.
It is important to our cultural heritage.
It is.
Thank you.
It's a lot of fun, too.
Well, that makes it even better. Thanks, Clint.
See you, Clint.
Thank you.
You bet.
So, Mike, I guess we have room for you. Come on up if you're ready. Casey, are you part of this, or are you just here to keep the crowd under control?
Yes.
Or the commissioners.
The commissioners,
control.
Yeah.
I thought you might bring a cage of cats.
Yeah.
He should have a lunch with us.
We'll wait for Commissioner Bousman to get his refill.
Yeah.
No, don't wait on me.
I don't know how you do that.
All right, Mike.
So we're here to discuss the constant headache, which is Title 25. And what brought the purpose of this meeting was a couple weeks ago, week before last, there were a couple of Title 25s, and they got taken down to Rock Springs instead of Jackson. And I got called by the Sweetwater County Attorney's Office because they were a little bit upset that they had to do all the hearings and things for the Title 25s down there. And what I eventually found out is that the gatekeeper, which was Southwest Counseling, re-detained them, which means they took them into their jurisdiction, basically. For whatever reasons, I don't know, it could be, I'm just guessing, financial or whatever the reasons, maybe I have no idea, but they re-detained them, so that therefore it became Sweetwater County's responsibility to do the hearings. We're still liable for the payment since these people were residents of our county, but they ended up having the responsibility for that. So I didn't know why that was, and I was concerned that there may be a problem with, you know, with some people in Jackson, whether it was the gatekeeper down there, which is Jackson Hole Counseling, or St. John's Hospital. I really wasn't sure. I've been talking to Casey. I guess it's just a situation where we go to Jackson first, and if their beds are full, then we end up taking the patients down to Sweetwater County and doing it. So I guess I have a clear understanding now of all of the issues regarding that, with the exception of, I don't know where we talked a long time ago about the contract with Jackson Hole Counseling, and one of the sticking points with that contract was they expected us, pursuant to that contract, to keep paying their full rate for services after the 72-hour mark, which becomes the state's burden after 72 hours, but we were continuing to pay that, and then seeking reimbursement back from the state of Wyoming, which unfortunately in most of these cases results in only the Medicaid, in fact all the cases virtually, the Medicaid rate, which is substantially less than what we're getting back, substantially less than what we're paying, usually about 40% of what we're paying in. So I guess for this purpose of this meeting, I don't know if Casey has anything to add, I'd love to hear it, but I think these issues are resolved, except whether we're going to entertain a new contract with them, if things are going fine as is without one. I don't know the status of that. The sheriff's office now has taken over the billing part of that, so I guess they would maybe have a better idea of how that's working out, as far as, you know, whether how the payment process is working with that, and whether it needs to be changed, or whether a contract should be reconsidered or keep going as we are. But right now, as far as I understand it, we do not have a contract with Jackson Hole Counseling. It expired, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months ago.
So. Oh, so we're not in a contract.
That's my understanding.
Correct, and I checked, and I couldn't. Yeah, the last one we have signed was when ML was still with the sheriff's office. So I don't know how long it's been since we have not been in a contract with them. And Mike's exactly, he's point on. So this goes back, you know, 15 years.
Yeah.
The Jackson Hole Community Counseling Center has always charged more than what the rest of the state charges as far as care for patients, whether that's one night room and board, a prescription medication, everything seems to be higher. Since we've taken this over, the gals have called St. John's, and they're willing to give us a 35% discount on cost for housing and also for medical care for these individuals that we bring there. If we want to look elsewhere, you know, for gatekeepers, Sweetwater County. I don't know the circumstances, but several county attorneys prior, there was a disagreement, so to speak, and Southwest Counseling Center shut their doors to Sublette County. They would no longer take Title 25 patients. Since then, we've kind of gotten back into good graces with them. However, the protocol is still to call St. John's first. If they have beds available, they will take the individual. If there are not beds available, they will call Sweetwater Memorial and make arrangements for us to transport the individual down there. So that's where we're at right now as far as Title 25. We kind of have to play with kid gloves, so to speak, because either one could say, nope, we're no longer taking your Title 25s, and, you know, our next closest option is Casper. So
yeah. A medical doctor can actually perform those roles as diagnosing the patient. So I don't know that we absolutely have to have one of these gatekeepers, but it's highly desired, obviously, to have a mental health professional dealing with this. It'd be like me jumping into some kind of complex legal issue that I have no experience in. I'm qualified to do it because I have a law degree, but I shouldn't be jumping into it. And that's kind of doctors balk at that, some of them MDs, because they don't feel like they have the expertise to deal with mental health issues, but they are statutorily qualified to do the diagnoses and be the person testifying at the hearings.
Yeah, we've had experience, mostly bad in the past, with that.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of because in this county, you're not always, in fact, most of the time, you don't have an MD available or on call. And the law allows for an MD to do it, but does not allow for a mid-level. And in today's time, it's quite a bit different in terms of, I'm going to say, the complexity of the issues and the things that are presented in terms of making that determination and hearing. It's not as it used to be in the past, more simply a medical decision based on somebody's overall condition as to whether they're a threat to themselves or somebody else. There's too many extenuating things to consider. I feel that there's no doubt that we need a gatekeeper. I guess the question I have, whichever gatekeeper we have, we're fortunate enough to be able to enter into a contract with, we still, I guess, have the same provision about them having available beds or being able to go elsewhere if those beds are full. Now, based on what you just said about the reimbursement rate and what you just said, Sheriff, with 35% discount, it seems like we're getting closer. I mean, if they're reimbursing at 40% rate and then they're discounting 35%, we're going to be closer than what the actual cost is. Now, I don't know if Sweetwater County can do that any further. I'm leaving it up to you and your discretion, because we're behind the eight ball because we need a contract. We need some assurances of that. And you're exactly right. We don't want to get into a position when we're caught in the middle of both of them and they say, oh, you can have it. No, you can have it. And guess what? We don't have it from either one of them. So what's your recommendation at this point?
I think, I mean, we're in good graces with St. John's. I think our ladies just need to call Teton County Community Health, or not Teton County, sorry, Jackson Hole Community Counseling, and just, see one if we can get a contract and then review it. And then, based on that, again, it's comes to the commissioners, and we can either accept or reject that contract. We can bid out to Sweetwater County to see if they would reopen the door, so to speak, to us. I know with the new county attorney down there, hopefully this is all water under the bridge. Nobody, all the players are gone that were part of that, that struggle earlier. And we can, possibly have them as well. So, because, as far as treatment goes and as far as willingness, we have not had any issues on them saying, nope, we just simply can't take somebody. They will find a place to put these individuals.
Will we be able to address in that contract loophole may be the wrong term, but the issue of being billed for those charges after 72 hours and not have a state bill for those?
So the problem therein lies is the state's only willing to pay a certain amount.
Understand.
Right.
But the problem is, does the problem become ours to be inherited that we have to pay the difference, or we have to pay the full amount? Because those, as you know, can be significantly large depending on how long a time we're talking about. We're talking about, you have, $90,000 in a budget for this, and we could go over that with two or three cases.
Sure. Yeah.
So is that part of a discussion or a contract, or that's going to be that they're going to negate it and say, no, we don't want to do it?
So the Title 25 statute, as far as the gatekeeper goes, is really kind of county dependent. You can talk to 23 different county attorneys, sheriff's office. They're all going to have a different way of how they process and do Title 25s.
Sure.
So there really isn't a set standard.
I understand, but I'm also trying to protect how much dependency we have on the county. I mean, from the financial end of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one. It really is.
All things being equal, I'd like to explore the Sweetwater County option for a couple of reasons. First of all, the county attorney's office down there is really good about working with us. If we're in a pinch up here, they're more than willing to go handle those hearings for us. And second of all, I just think that logistically, it's easy to get there to Rock Springs. The roads are always pretty good. And I don't know. I guess I'm a little confused about the difference between St. John's and Jacksonville Counseling. Are they combining fees for this? We're talking about the 35% reduction they're giving us. Does that apply? Is that St. John's for their services?
That's St. John's.
So yes. Jacksonville Counseling is the one that's charging, that, I guess, beyond the 72 hours is who the contract's with. Jacksonville Counseling is the one charging us past the 72 hours, the full rate. That's the contract was with, that I saw, was with Jacksonville Counseling. So
I guess my concern with that is that we're able to tread lightly, because I understand the reality of the situation is, as you investigate South, you alienate North. And I don't know the answer to that.
I don't either.
I don't know the answer to that. Because we, if the worst case scenario is we could be left without and end up having to go to Casper.
Well, and I would defer to Casey on that, because he's the, you know, his guys or gals are going to have to pick him up and haul him somewhere. So
that would be my thought. I think,
I mean, if
you can handle stray cats, this ought to be...
I'm sorry?
If you can handle stray cats, this ought to be easy.
Oh, jeez. No, I mean, I'd almost prefer to stay with, I mean, the way that we're doing it, it works now, just so we don't... I mean, mental health is a huge issue across the nation for every county, for every state, for every law enforcement agency. I know, I mean, we have legislators and presidents across the board that are working hard on that, and not, you know, President of the United States, but presidents of the National Sheriff's Association and other, you know, national associations that are really pushing. And I know there's some legislature this year that's going to try to help rectify some of the Title 25, you know, deficiencies that we've seen. But like I said, I really do not want to lose our, I don't want to lose what we have right now, because we are so... we are kind of off on an island of our own, that if we do lose, you know, the opportunity to utilize either, you know, Jackson or Rock Springs, boy, I mean, the expense there, I what's the offset?
And when
you're dealing with a person, I mean, you really, how do you put a price on someone that's, you know, wanting to harm themselves or harm somebody else?
Sheriff, I agree with you. Also, in the context of right now, we don't have a contract. We need to get a contract.
Right.
We need to get one as soon as possible, whether it's for the remainder of this fiscal year or for the next year, whatever. I think if that's renewable, or if there's problems within that time frame when it's time to renew, giving you some leeway and time to work through this, we can come up with another recommendation. But I think at this time, it being behind the eight ball, so to speak, in fact that we don't have a contract, speaking for myself, I would be more inclined to pursue with that for a contract year or year and a half or whatever, and see how that pans out.
Okay.
My opinion. Yes, sir, do you have a comment?
I'm into trading, and I think we're in a much better spot. We can trade Title 25 with Teton County, and we'll take CWD here at the landfill. Because it's coming. I'm serious.
Where did that come from?
Doug, I think deeply. You just don't realize it.
You know, all I can say is they both involve the brain. Anybody else have a comment? No, seriously. I mean, that's my opinion in giving you that direction. If you guys do not agree with that, speak up. If not, I think...
Well, I have no problems with it, but I'm not out in left field when I'm talking about this.
Well,
hey, Mr. Chairman, I think Commissioner Bowsman's aware of this as well, attending Waco, but there's some interest in the state taking this over, and that would be incredibly awesome. So if you get the chance to influence awesome. Some legislators, I mean, by all means, bend their ear on that, because it'd be great to get rid of this.
It's a problem all over the state.
Well, I know they were looking at 2 years ago, the governor taking $25 million out of his rainy day money just to cover Title 25. Right. It's huge. That's why they're pursuing a new facility in Lander so they can offload some of the state hospital patients there. But for this purpose of this discussion, okay, I think that's your direction, Casey.
Thank you. All right. Yeah, but another, you know, just sitting here thinking about it, another thing that I didn't even realize was also security. So if we take somebody, I mean, ultimately we're responsible. St. John's has always provided security, so our deputy does not have to
stay up there for 72 hours.
That's right. Yeah.
Or through the weekend and 5 days.
Right, yeah. Which is a huge expense.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, the security. So if you're transporting somebody from, say, here to St. John's, then you have to supply security.
Well, they're so Title 25, we take them into custody. They are in our custody, much like an arrest. And we are responsible for them for that first 72 hours.
And so, if that happens on Friday afternoon, the clock doesn't start ticking, so you could be Tuesday.
Tuesday.
And so in essence,
5 days.
Jackson is doing us a favor there because you would have to have a deputy assigned 24/7 for that duration.
Yes.
Yes.
Flex time.
So,
okay, thank you.
No, and I appreciate your efforts in this and taking over the billing on this. It's always going to be a complex, complicated issue, and it's not going to get any cheaper.
No.
It's going to become more of a widespread problem, more of a society thing. I don't know where the end point on this is, but it's just going to grow. So whatever we can do, and you know, right now I appreciate 35%. Although I think the community service ought to be doing the same thing, but let's work with Jackson whatever way we can for now.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, just not on this particular issue, but question for both Casey and Mike: has the Sheriff's Association or the Attorneys Association had this on your agenda at your state meeting
every
in terms of trying to get to a recommendation to the legislature?
Every year. Every year it's been on there. The problem is, again, 23 counties, 23 county attorneys, 23 sheriffs, they all have a different opinion on how this should work. And there's no guidelines. So Fremont County, they don't do Title 25, period.
How do they avoid it?
Yeah, they see it.
Yeah.
It looks like
they get away. They have some other things without having horses too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
They probably have a bigger need for it than any county in the state.
Probably.
Being by the reservation.
Right.
There's just not any money, and that's what's holding back the legislature. Mm-hmm. Or there's more problem with money. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mike,
thank you, guys.
Still thinking.
Yeah. The CWD thing is.
Let's take a short break. We'll be recessed for about 5 minutes.
Good idea.
Yeah.
They're eventually going to have to put them somewhere.
That's what they're going to have to
do. Do you need some dental help?
No, absolutely not. I guarantee you. You wait. You wait. You guys don't. I'm a visionary.
Yeah, well, I got news. Title 25 is more expensive than CWD ever thought.
But
that's
why
he thought it was a good deal for us.
They still have to put them somewhere, and we're the only place they can put them.
Yeah.
Because the Yellowstone Park is closed.
It's like a couple other things we talked about today. I wish it were that easy.
Well,
for every carcass we take from Teton County should get us permission to send one title to.
Well, either that or it's just $10,000 a carcass. If they're going to close the National Elk Refuge, which they're going to do. Where are those animals all going to go? They're going to go to the highway.
They're going to get dumped out in the street.
They better hunt them.
I know.
Yes.
Oh, I got an interesting question.
They just won't listen.
Good. Apparently,
purchased their own
research
and rescue. So my question would be, helicopter that Sublette County had been leasing, has it been available to like the Teton counties and its neighbors? Wouldn't it make sense now if, in fact, that helicopter is and it's out there? Wouldn't it make better sense for us
just like several months ago.
This is a question I've been prepared to work out. Are you
okay? Oh, no, I'm going to ask. What's your issue? What's your gut?
Yeah.
I think I'd be brain dead.
You get brain dead.
I'm just
No, I understand that.
Facts and details to balance out the.
That's fine. But I, you know, I'm just, it's going around, and I'm like, well, there's a lot of stuff that would happen. But for instance, the. If they have one that's serve all the purposes of the here, this place all the services that we're doing.
No, I understand where you're going.
So we subsidize high mountain or high country behavior. Plus, they get TANF money, flow through money. Plus, we subsidize the TANF money. The county puts some money into their budget. The high country for operations. No.
Well, you would think it would be there.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should ask me that.
Could you go to Good Point?
High country does.
I will. Sheriff Lair. I will. Come on over, please.
Probably.
So, got a solution to my problem?
No, oh, he's giving you another one.
So, my question I have, this is just about anyone. So, because I used to read in, I think it's one of the elementary schools for the big club.
They've just got it.
Oh, ow.
Middle school.
Okay.
We've used them all the time, especially in the office.
Oh,
we're
going to attach it to
the only problem is if they have
Okay, well, I didn't know. I just thought.
Just believe it or not, two or three weeks.
No, yeah, he did. Like,
two or three weeks ago.
I didn't realize they were
called us.
This was a minute or two. That's what we're going to do. So you go online and
The sheriff.
Well, my 14-year-old
You can work.